What's happening, everybody, and welcome to today's edition of Swag Talk, the show where we cover the swag inside and out. I'm your host, Charles Wells, coming at you, and we're going to wrap up our spring 2021 season recaps because guess what? On Wednesday, we'll be beginning our fall 2021 team previews, so be ready for that. We're under 60 days to the start of the season, so football is right around the corner. And we're going to go ahead and get to all the good stuff. So before we get started, as usual, you can check out the socials, facebook.com/swagtalk, instagram.com/swagtalk, swagtalk76@gmail.com is the email address. Check out Swagtalk on YouTube. You can search Swagtalk Show. We have content on there. We're going to have a video covering UAPB spring 2021 season, as well as our fall 2021 previews will be there as well. We're over 180 subscribers, so feel free to subscribe to the video, to the channel, if you haven't done so already. And that's that, you know. So just also want to say, you know, if you want to kind of show a little support to this channel, you can hit me up on Cash App at $/SwagTalk. And that's all of that, man. You know, that's all the little introductions. We're gonna talk about UAPB. In 2019, they were the surprise team of the league, finishing with a 6-5 record when most people, including myself, predicted that they would probably win at best two or three games. They finished with a 6-5 record, including a big, big victory over Alabama A&M on the road by over 20 points. So coming into the springtime, you know, it was kind of thought that they could be a factor, but they did more than be a factor. They actually won the division and went to the SWAC championship. This was a good season for them. They did a couple of things that they hadn't did in quite some time, and that was beat Southern and Grambling, especially beating Southern in Baton Rouge. That's something they hadn't done in a while. They actually, like I said, their season was supposed to start on February 27th against Texas Southern, but that game was postponed due to some effects of that winter storm that came through at the end of February. So they opened up on the road at Southern on March 6th, and they came into this game really fired up. I think they came to Baton Rouge to prove a point. They were really disappointed with their loss to Southern in 2019, because that was a game that they kind of had measured themselves against Southern, and so, you know, they couldn't get it done. So I think they really came out really wanting to play hard. Doc Gamble, the head coach, that was his first game. And he, you know, he had those guys ready. You know, they were ready. They played with an edge. And they got Southern to kind of play a style of ball that Southern didn't really want to play. They did a good job of, you know, keeping Southern under control offensively. And they were able to use a really strong second quarter to get the lead. They actually scored 23 points in the second quarter. They only scored 7 points the rest of the way, but they had a huge second quarter. That's what, you know, basically gave them the game. Southern scored 16 points in the second half to make the game a little bit closer, but they just weren't able to get over the hump. They did a good job against Southern. They held Southern to under 134. They held Southern to 134 rushing yards, which was Southern's lowest total on the season. They had three interceptions. Pine Bluff did against Southern, and I think a couple fumbles as well. So they did a good job of turning Southern over and forcing Southern to really just not play a comfortable style of football. Just a really good outing for them, and that was a game that set their season in motion. After a week off, they went to Grambling, and they jumped on Grambling and beat them 48-21. Another strong outing for them. March 27 was a big game against Alabama State, but it was canceled after about a quarter and a half of football because of weather. So they moved their next game to April 3rd against Valley and Itabena. And this game was a back and forth affair. Valley led for much of the first half. Pine Bluff was able to come back and tie the game up. And then late in the fourth quarter, Tyron Ralph returned a punt return for Pine Bluff to win the game. And they escaped from Itabena with a 24-17 victory. April 17th, they hosted Prairie View in their only completed home game. They beat Prairie View 36-31 in a game that came down to the end. and that basically punched their ticket to the SWAC championship. Their game against Texas Southern on April 24th was canceled, which led to them playing Alabama A&M in the SWAC championship game in Jackson, which they will ultimately lose 40-33. But this was a game that they led for a good portion of, and A&M was able to get going in the second half and take the lead and win. So all in all, a really good season for Pine Bluff. They went 4-1 on the season, 4-0 in conference. They had only one home game, which they won. They were 3-0 on the road, which is a very good mark for a team, and they were 0-1 in neutral site. So those three road games definitely set the tone for their season. They did play four of their five games were decided by 7 points or less either way. So they played a lot of close games, but they were able to win the majority of them. And you know, that's something that's the mark of a good team, because a team could easily lose one or two of those games, but they only lost one. So they put themselves in a lot of good positions, and they took advantage of those, and they were able to get W. So looking at the statistics for Pine Bluff, they were fourth in the league in scoring offense at 34.8 points per game. They had 24 touchdowns, 3 field goals, 19 extra points, and 1 safety, giving them 174 points total. They were 6th in the league in scoring defense, allowing 139 points, which is 27.8 points per game, 18 touchdowns, 4 field goals, 15 extra points, 1 two-point conversion, giving them 139 total points. Total offense, they were 4th in the league with 596 rushing yards, 1,258 passing yards on 360 plays, giving them a total of 1,854 yards, 5.2 yards per play, 19 touchdowns, 370.8 yards per game. They were 5th in the league in total defense, 532 yards rushing, 1,288 yards passing, 359 plays, 1,820 yards, 5.1 yards per play for the opponents, 17 touchdowns, 364 yards of offense for the opponents. Rushing offense, Pine Bluff was 7th in the league. They had 177 carries, 596 yards, 3.4 yards per carry, 5 touchdowns, 119.2 yards per game. They were 1st in the league in rushing defense, which is a huge jump for them over the last couple of years. 164 carries, 532 yards, 3.2 yards per carry, 7 touchdowns, 106.4 yards per game allowed on the ground. Passing offense, Pine Bluff was 3rd. They were 104 of 183. 6 interceptions, 14 touchdowns, 56.8% completion, 1,258 yards, 6.9 yards per pass, average 251.6 yards per game. They were 7th in the league in passing defense, allowing opponents to go 106 of 195, 10 touchdowns, 8 interceptions, 54% completion, 1,288 yards, 6.6 yards per completion, 257.6 yards per game. Passing efficiency offense, they were 4th in the league at 133.3 rating. Passing efficiency defense, they were 3rd in the league with a rating of 118.6. Kickoff returns, they led the league, 15 returns, 415 yards, 1 touchdown, 27.7 yards per return. Punt returns, they also led the league in punt returns. They had 17 returns, 274 yards, 2 touchdowns, 16.1 yards per game. So they had a very good return unit all around. That's definitely something that can help you win games. Kickoffs, they were 6th. They had 30 kickoffs, 1,730 yards, 57.7 yard per kick average, 425 yards on returns allowed. 7 touchbacks, giving them a net average of 37.7 yards per kick. Field goals, they were 7th 3 of 5 for 60%. Extra points, they were 8th, 19 of 22 for 86%. Punting, they were 5th in the league, 28 punts, 1,052 yards, 37.6 yard per punt. They allowed 117 return yards, 4.2 yards per return was their average allowed. One touchback, 5 punts fair caught, 32.7 yards per punt on net average. They allowed 6 sacks as an offense, which was first in the league, for a loss of 30 yards. They also led the league in sacks with 21 sacks on defense, 139 yards lost. Interceptions, they led the league in interceptions with 8 on the season, 118 yards on returns and 1 touchdown, an average of 14.8 yards per return. First downs, they were 8th in the league. They had 25 rushing first downs, 59 passing first downs, 6 by penalty, giving them 90 first downs, an average of 18 a game. Opponents' first downs, they were 9th in the league. They had 31 first downs rushing, 53 passing, 22 by penalty, 106 total first downs for the opponents, an average of 21.2 first downs per game. Third down conversions, they were 4th, 33 of 81, 40.7%. Third down conversions for the opponents, they were 2nd, 23 of 71, 32.4%. Fourth down conversions, they were 9th at 3 of 10 for 30%. Opponent fourth down conversions, they were 7th, 6 of 12 for 50%. So if you look at a lot of their numbers, you can kind of see how they play so many close games. Because, you know, they would be middle of the pack offensively and middle of the pack defensively. But the one thing that really put them over the top was the fact that they didn't allow a lot of sacks and they got a lot of sacks as a defense. And they also led the league in interceptions. So they did a good job of making plays on both sides of the ball, especially on defense when they needed to. And that's what kind of put them in better position to win those games that were close. Because they were last in the league in penalties. Our offense on penalties as a team with 46, which was the most in the league, 436 yards, which was the most yardage on penalties in the league for an average of 87.2 yards per game in penalties. Opponent penalties, 6, 38 for 319 yards, 63.8 yards per game. Time of possession, they were 8th in the league with an average of 28 minutes and 53 seconds. So as you can see, statistically, they were, like I said, kind of a middle of the pack team, but they did, you know, what they had to do to win those games, and that's all you can ask for as a team. You can only do what you can do, and when you got an opportunity to make those plays to win, like that punt return against Valley for a touchdown, those are things that, you know, teams that win championships or get to championships, they have to do. You have to win those kind of games. You have to have luck. Sometimes it's better to be lucky than good. But they were good when they, you know, and definitely they were good in certain aspects. Skylar Perry led the team in rushing with 52 carries for 216 yards, 4.2 yards per carry, 3 touchdowns, along with 31, 43.2 yards per game. Mateus Clark was the leading rusher as a running back with 61 carries for 173 yards. He had an average of 2.8 yards per carry, 2 touchdowns, 32 yards of his long. 34.6 yards per game. Omar Allen, 42 carries, 150 yards, 3.6 yards per carry. No touchdowns, long with 27, 30 yards per game. DeJuan Miller, 2 carries for 33 yards, 16.5 yards per carry, 21 yards was his long, 6.6 yards per game. Levonski Williams, 5 carries for 18 yards, 3.6 yards per carry, 14 yards long, 3.6 yards per game. Kylan Herrera, 7 carries for 11 yards, 1.6 yards per carry, 5 yard long, 3.6 yards per game. Josh Wilkes, 1 carry, 6 yards, 1.2 yards per game. Stanley Bentley, 1 carry for 3 yards, 3.6 yards per game. Taylor Holston, 1 carry for no yards. So when you look at their running game, it was not very good. Skylar Perry, as the quarterback, was basically the bulk of their running attack. They did have two backs with over 150 yards apiece, but neither one of those guys got a good yard per carry average. 2.8 and 3.6. So, the actual running game with giving the ball to running back was not a really successful endeavor. And that's part of the reason why they averaged 119 yards per game on the ground as a team. They tried to run the ball, with three guys having over 40 carries. So they did try to run the ball, but they just really could not get anything consistently going. And that was something that was gonna be an issue coming into the season, losing a guy like Taylor Porter, who had 1,000-yard seasons in back-to-back years. So somebody is definitely still gonna have to step up and take the reins of the running game to take some of that pressure off of Perry as a runner. Perry was 102 of 178 passing, 1,236 yards, 13 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, 57% completion, long of 60, 247.2 yards per game. DeJuan Miller, 103, 33%, 17 yards, 3.4 yards per game. Taylor Holston, 1 of 1, for 100%, 5 yards, 1 touchdown, 1.6 yards per game. Perry, like I said, Skylar Perry was a really solid quarterback this year. He split time in 2019 as a starter, so he didn't really have the best season in 2019, but in 2018 he started as a freshman, so he has experience. But he doesn't have, he was used to battling for a job, so to have the job all his own, he represented himself pretty well. I think of to be able to lead the team to a championship game was a good start for him. Josh Wilkes, 25 catches, 341 yards, 13.6 yards per catch, 6 touchdowns, long of 60, 68.2 yards per game. Harry Ballard, 23 catches, 313 yards, 13.6 yards per catch, 3 touchdowns, long of 58, 62.6 yards per game. Tyrion Ralph, 24 catches, 307 yards, 12.7 yards per catch, 1 touchdown, long of 31, 61.4 yards per game. DeJuan Miller, 14 catches, 148 yards, 10.5 yards per catch, 2 touchdowns, 22-yard long, 29.6 yards per game. Jeremy Brown, 6 catches, 81 yards, 13.5 yards per catch, 2 touchdowns, 31 yards was his long, 16.2 yards per game. Omar Allen, 4 catches for 21 yards, 5.2 yards per catch, no touchdowns, 11 yards his long, 4.2 yards per game. Skylar Perry, 1 catch for 17 yards, 3.4 yards per catch. Rylan Woods, 1 catch for 13 yards, 4.3 yards per game. Mateus Clark, 5 catches for 10 yards, 2 yards per catch, 7 yards his long, 2 yards per game. And Kavarius Lowe, 1 catch for 7 yards, 3.5 yards per game. And looking at the numbers, you had 3 guys with over 20 catches. Each of them had over 300 yards. They all were about 12 to 13 yards per catch, 60 yards per game approximately for all three. So they had a good group of receivers. Ralph is a speed guy, Wilkes is a smaller speed guy, Ballard was a big body receiver that can go up and get it. And they did a really good job of getting the ball to those three guys. Jeremy Brown was a tight end type of guy, DeJuan Miller, another good body size guy. So they had nice weapons and they used them. The passing game was very solid. 14 touchdowns on the season and only 6 interceptions. So, that's a good ratio, more than 2-1 touchdowns to interceptions. So that just a solid offensive attack. Nothing, really spectacular, but they definitely could hurt you. Each one of those guys could hurt you in their own way. You had to account for them, but they're gonna lose Harry Ballard. He went in the transfer portal. I think he went to Nevada, so that's a loss. But they have some guys who can step in and take that spot. Now how well they produce, that's something we'll talk about as we enter our fall previews. But offensively, this was a solid offense. I thought they, you know, they carried themselves well throughout the season. The A&M game was a little bit out of their depth as A&M offense really is explosive. But defensively, they played well in that game as well. They played pretty solid all season. Kobe Watts led the team with 36 tackles. Isaac Peppers, 33. Sean Steele, 28. Jalen Thigpen, 28. Timon Akins, 25. Solomon Brooks, 19. Xavier Mitchell, 18. Marcus Askew, 17. Kevion Johnson, 16. Tyler Smith, 14. Paul Reeves, 13. Stanley Bentley, 12. Monroe Beard, 12. Andre Fuller, 9. Isaiah Singleton, 9. Chris Newton, 8. Ethan Smith, 8. Zion Farmer, 6. Javon Grace, 6. Carlo Hamilton, 5. Ja'Cory McKinney, 5. Tackles for loss. Peppers, 9. Watts, 8. Akins, 5.5, Beard, 4.5, Thigpen, 4, Mitchell, 4, Newton, 3.5, Smith, 2.5, Farmer, 2.5, Reeves, 2, Steele, 1.5, Askew, 1.5, Johnson, 1.5, Gray, 1.5, Hamilton, 1.5, Brooks, 1, Bentley, half a tackle for loss, Singleton, half a tackle for loss, giving the Golden Lions a total of 59 tackles for loss on the season. They allowed 41. So they did a really good job of making plays behind the line of scrimmage. Sacks, Pepper, 7.5, Mitchell, 3, Newton, 2.5, Smith, 2, Watts, 1, Smith, 1, Reeves, 1, Askew, 1, Akins, Beard, Farmer, and Gray each had a half a sack apiece. Like I said, they led the league with 21 sacks. So they, like I said, they were very good behind the line of scrimmage as a defense. They also led the league in interceptions. Jalen Thigpen had 5 interceptions on the season. You could not throw the ball his way. Beard won, Steele won, Johnson won. So this was a very good defense. You know, like I said, a lot of the statistical numbers may not be great, you know, as far as rankings, but they made plays when they needed to make them. And this is what, you know, when you look at a team and you wonder how they got where they got, certain stats stand out, and for them, their defensive stats, interceptions, and sacks are what did it. You know, sometimes teams can can have good sack numbers and not really be a really good team. They just do a good job of getting to the quarterback. But they also were very, very good against the run, which helps a lot in slowing down teams and forcing teams to pass. So they did a really good job this year, and I was impressed with the way that they handled themselves all season, especially after getting that big win at Southern. You know, sometimes a team can get a big win like that and let down the rest of the way. They only got better as the season went on. So that, you know, that's a definitely a salute to them for how they handled the season. Josh Sanchez was the punter. He had 27 punts for 1,052 yards, 38.9 yard average, long of 67, one touchback, 5 punts fair caught, 9 punts inside the 20, 3 50 plus yard punts. Zach Pisniska, 3 of 5 on field goals, 60%, 1 for 1 inside 20 yards, 1 for 3 from 30 to 39 yards, and 1 for 1 from 40 to 49 yards. His long was 42. He did have one kick block. Pisniska, 30 kickoffs, 1,730 yards, 57.7 yard average, 7 touchbacks, no kickoffs out of bounds. Returns, Ralph, 14 returns, 209 yards, 14.9 yards per return, 1 touchdown, long of 77. Terrell McCray, 1 return for 47 yards and a touchdown. Darrell Carter, 1 return for 17 yards. Isaiah Singleton, 1 return for 1 yard. Tyrann Ralph, 14 kickoff returns for 380 yards, 27.1 yard per return, 1 touchdown, 81 yards long. Josh Wilkes, 1 return for 35 yards. So Ralph, like I said, was a special teams monster. He was a beast on kickoff returns and punt returns, having a touchdown on both. Wilkes led the team in scoring with 6 touchdowns, giving him 36 points. Pisniska, 28 points. Ballard, 18 points on 3 touchdowns. Perry, 18 points on 3 touchdowns. Ralph, 18 points on 3 touchdowns. Brown, 12 points on 2 touchdowns. Clark, 12 points on 2 touchdowns. Miller, 12 points on 2 touchdowns. McCray, big pen, and Watts each had one touchdown apiece, giving them 6 points apiece. And the team had a safety for 2 points, so that's their total points. And like I said, Pine Bluff still has a bright future. It's gonna be interesting to see how they handle being the lead dog coming into the season as a division champ and not being the guy to chase. You know, sometimes that's a little bit more difficult to be the hunted and not the hunter. But you know, they played a very good season. You know, you can't do nothing but salute them for the effort that they put forth. And they did what they had to do to get to the championship. They have had some losses in the portal, but we're gonna see how they shake back from that. You know, if they've been able to recruit enough to withstand those losses, and if some of the younger guys are gonna be ready to step up, because you know, for Pine Bluff, they've never had back to back seasons after having a really successful season. Typically, when they have a good season, they kind of fall back a bit. So we're gonna it's gonna be interesting to see how they handle this success and if they can continue to build on it and ultimately make it back to the SWAC championship in the fall of 2021. So that's gonna do it for today's episode. Again, we'll be back on Wednesday to start our fall 2021 previews with the defending SWAC champ Alabama A&M Bulldogs. Check out the YouTube page. We got a video coming up today about UAPB spring 2021 season. So with that being said, I'm your boy Charles Wells signing out, and we will see you guys on Wednesday. We're out.